must come to that place where you understand, yes, there's a problem, but my problem solver is here. And he was here before the problem came. This morning, I just felt quickened in my spirit, and the Lord says, I have a song for you. My problem solver is here. My problem solver is here. My healer is here. His name is Jesus. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Rejoice in the Lord always. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And stop forgetting stuff. Don't forget his benefits. Don't forget he's your healer. Don't forget that he's the one who renews your youth like the eagles. Somebody shout hallelujah. Stop forgetting stuff. Amen. He is faithful. Hallelujah. This is a song we used to sing, When I Remember What the Lord Has Done. That's a song, right? Praise the Lord. Yeah. We need to remember, or else we will not be thankful. Word of God says, forget not all his benefits. You know, first time I read that, forget not all his benefits in Psalm 103, I'm saying, Lord, what do you mean, forget not all his benefits? How is that possible? Let people forget. They forget because they think they brought it about. I got this far by my strength. My smarts. I outsmarted everybody and got this done. The reality of life is this. That if it were not for God's mercy and God's grace, none of us would be here. I've seen young people, all buffed up, die, wasted away. How on earth did that happen? That specimen of health, done, finished. Things change in a dime, it's a turn of a dime. Anybody that gets cocky enough to think they are all that, about to experience a rude awakening. Somebody thinks, you know, if I have all this money, all my problems will be solved. And they do not understand that there are problems that money cannot solve. When you're poor, money can solve most of your problems. But when you're rich, and money cannot solve your problems, who do you need? You need God. And you cannot go to somebody, listen, you cannot go to somebody that you've not been thankful for another help. If you want to always have access to God, you must learn to be thankful in every situation. Because you understand, God sees the ins and outs of every situation. He knows every detail. It is well with heavenly. Hallelujah. God is faithful. He will not deny himself.
He's not going to learn how to be unfaithful because of you. He's faithful. But when God demonstrates his faithfulness, do you have a container that has no holes, or do you have a container that has holes and is leaky? Because God is going to be faithful. God is going to do what he said he's going to do. But when he does it, do you have the capacity to handle it and keep it? That is the important thing. A lot of people have so much but can't keep nothing. Because they've not learned the powerful key of being thankful. In the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter, the Bible tells us the story, the life experience of certain men, starting from the 11th verse. It says Jesus was going through the area of Samaria and Galilee, that general area. He's going through the midst of it. He comes to a certain village, and as he's entering into that particular village, he's accosted by 10 lepers. They were standing afar off. But from their distance, some way, somehow, they were able to identify Jesus. Bible says they were afar off. That was the first miracle. The first miracle is that God gave the capacity of sight to a people he wanted to minister to. Jesus didn't just come through that place. He was there strategically to bring healing to those men. And he made the possibility possible for them to identify that he was the one. He's coming to this certain village. It's a small village. He says they lifted up their voices. Someone said they lifted up their voices. That's the power of unity. One of the fundamental things God brought to us during this feast was that he wanted to deal with us corporately. That the move and the denial of the movings of God is because we have been too individualistic. Now, God will deal with individuals in very particular ways, but he wants to bring us as a corporate people. Now, these were 10 lepers who lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, and didn't just identify him as Jesus, they said, Master. And then they said, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. The Bible says, and when he saw them, notice they saw him, then he saw them. But the sin of them that followed the sin of him was, I believe, instigated and put in place by God. For remember, they were afar off. And it was not like Jesus was always there and they knew his entourage and they knew everybody and said, oh, that's that Jesus group. There is something that God does in the quickening of our souls and our spirits to bring us into an awareness of our timing for our miracle. I don't know if you heard what I said. There is a quickening that takes place that brings you into an awareness of the timing of your miracle, the time of your visitation. And it's totally needful for you to seize the opportunity when that opportunity comes. Take a hold of it. That's the set time. That's the appointed Kairos time, the Moedim, the very specific time. And God gives us specific times, and he says, do not miss the day of your visitation. Don't miss it. Because it may not come around again. He says, when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Go show yourself unto the priest. What do you mean? We're crying for mercy. We're crying out to you to do a miracle for us. And he said, go show yourself to the priest. The priest was the one who told us that he told us, every single one of us here, that we're lepers and that we're supposed to leave. You want us to go show ourselves to the priest? Yes. Why? So that the priest who said you're unclean can say to you now, you are clean. So that the one who said you are a failure can now say, man, you're a victor. So that the one who said, you're going to die from this sickness can say, I don't know what happened, but you are a specimen of health. So that the one who said, you will never make it, will say, I don't know how you did it. You made it. God is going to cause the devil to speak out from his own mouth that you are the blessed of the Lord. Do you receive that in the mighty name of Jesus? The one that said that you're not going to make it is going to testify that you are the blessed. I don't know how it happened, but you are cleansed. The Bible says, and it came to pass, as they obeyed the word. Say, obeyed the word. Say it again, obeyed the word. Say it again, obeyed the word. What word? The word of the Lord, who said to them, go show yourselves unto the priest. As it came to pass, that as they went where? To show themselves to the priest. It says, they were cleansed. Wow. They were cleansed from their infirmity. They did not even get to the priest yet. They were cleansed. They did not get to the place that they were going to be certified cleansed yet. But as they went, they were cleansed. You know what? You have to know that you know that you know that your miracle has happened already. Because you're obeying the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. The woman with the issue of blood who said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be well. When she did, she knew in herself that something has changed. I have received my miracle. Today, I declare by the authority of the word of the living God that you will know in yourself, in your knower, that God has already solved your problem, that that financial situation is already resolved, that marital situation is already resolved, that relational situation is already resolved, that employment, immigration, whatever the problem is, it is already resolved, that you know it is done already. Praise the Lord. That you don't need anybody to tell you, you know, it's done. I have obeyed the word of the Lord. I am moving towards that target point and knowing I'm cleansed. Bible says, and one of them, recognizing that something had changed, it says, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. The instruction was, go show yourself to whom? To the priest. Jesus didn't say, what priest? Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. We will accept that? So he turns back because he understood that the answer that he needed was already taken care of. He understood that the one that was to restore him had already done it. When he found out that he was Iomai. There are 8 words for the word healing in the scriptures. This is one of them. This Iomai is a word that describes healing that is moving so fast that it's almost instantaneous. This is almost instantaneous. Most of the words that are used for healing in scriptures, the fastest or rather the slowest one, which is the one that most of the miracles of Jesus is described as, is the word kertherapeo, from where we get the word therapy or therapeutics. As they were going, they found that they were cleanse, katarizo. That's another word for healing. Are you with me so far? So, from katarizo, cleanse, this one who turned back and with a loud voice was glorifying God came with that turning back with Iomai. He had gone to the upgrade. The others were still in katarizo, still cleansed. Now, what that meant was that if there was a missing limb or phalange, finger, missing piece from the nose, that they were cleansed, there was no secretion, no fluids, no, everything is dry, and but you still knew that this guy was at some point a leper. Are you with me? That's katarizo. There's still a mark. There's still a sign that something had happened to you. Oh, this guy was sick. Now he's well. He suffered from a stroke and he was paralyzed and couldn't move, but now he can move around, but one arm is still acting funny. Are you with me so far? Okay. With Iomai, none of that is there. Something had dramatically changed in his life. He turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He's glorifying God. He says, and he fell down on his face at his feet, no longer afar off. Now he's right where Jesus was, and he's giving thanks. And the Bible says he was a Samaritan. He was a Samaritan. I wonder where these other guys were from. They have been Jews. To whom much is given, much is expected. This man knew, I'm a Samaritan. I'm not a Jew. And God has healed me. And he's thankful. Because he knew from whence he came and what his background was. Jews and Samaritans had nothing in common. And here he has his miracle. And the Bible says, Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Were there not 10 cleansed? Katarizo. But where are the 9? Well, they're still going to the earthly priest. There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said, arise. Somebody say, arise. Go thy way. And the third word for healing is used. Thy faith had made thee sozo. So we have katarizo. We have ayomai. And now we have sozo. Three expressions in the life of one man that was thankful. Are we together so far? Three expressions. One dealing with his past, cleansing. His present, katarizo. His future, wholeness. In essence, you will never again experience leprosy. This problem is forever solved in your life and in your heritage. Glory be to God. I want the God who wants to do this extraordinary thing of dealing with my past issues, my present issues, and my future issues all at once. When I glorify God and I am thankful. When you glorify God and you're thankful, you are focused on meeting with Him, the one who has spoken into your life. Praise the Lord. During this segment, we learned certain things from the Word of God. That so many times we stay in a state of delay because we are still stuck in the realm of it is written. We pull that from the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is written. The devil comes and tempts him, and he says, it is written. And then he comes again and tempts him, and he says, it is written. And the Lord said, you have to come to the place where you say it is said. Because when Jesus stopped saying it is written and said it is said, the Bible says the devil stopped and backed off. You know, so many times we think we know so much. I already know. It's like the little kid that is growing up. He says, I know everything. I don't need to go to school anymore. That's the foolishness of the world. As much as I know in the Word of God, I'm still learning. I'm still growing, and my eyes are just bugged out. Oh my goodness, I've been reading this thing. But it was at the time of revelation that everything changes. And God is showing to us from this passage of scripture found here in Luke 17 about how we move progressively from one level to the other by expressing thanksgiving to God, glorifying God, showing and declaring, God, if it were not for your mercies, if it were not for your grace, if it were not for what you have done, I wouldn't have made it. You think you can make it by yourself? You think? It just takes one screw loose and everything you've got falls apart. Huh? You want the master inspector to inspect every area of your life and not allow the enemy to sow tares in your field. That happens when you glorify God. It's not my skills, my smartness, my connections. You know how many people have connections? You know how many people are so highly educated and so super qualified for positions, and some nobody gets the position, and the one that is so qualified doesn't get it? Do you know how many forces are targeting you to make sure that you don't make it? Do you know how many spiritual forces are operating around you? You think you and I and everything that happens in this world is flesh and blood? Do you know that you need God? And if God is to do anything for you, you have to learn how to be thankful. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, it says, because they were not thankful, all kinds of things hit them. Every possible problem. In the first few 10 verses or so, God talks about the blessings, blessing, blessing. And the next 20, 30 something verses, it's all curses. Because they did not listen and were not thankful to God. Thanksgiving is not about turkey and gravy and pumpkin pie. I don't even like pumpkin pie. Why am I? It's about knowing God. I know during this feast, I was saying the other day, during this feast of Tabernacle that falls exactly at the time of Thanksgiving, that the challenge that we all face is more turkey and gravy and cranberry sauce and budding together with family, or should I be in the house of God? What am I going to do? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to be in the house of God. I'll still have my turkey and my whatever. But priority number one is to be in the place where God opens the heavens and pours out a blessing on me. I'm going to connect. Hallelujah. I'm going to connect because I know who's buttering my bread. Hallelujah. You better know who's buttering your bread. Know where your gravy train, the sauce is.
If it were not for God, where would I be? Nothing is more important to me. You know, the psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This man comes to the Lord and falls at his feet. And the Bible says, and he says unto him, arise. Somebody say, arise. Go thy way. Thy faith had made thee whole. Huh? Thy faith had made thee whole? What do you mean thy faith had made thee whole? You are the one who said, go show yourself to the priest. And I was going in obedience to the priest. And I found out that I had gone from one level of catarizo to IMI. And I came here and you said, sozo. And you're saying, my faith? What do you mean, my faith? What did I do? I just obeyed your word. And that's what God calls faith. Your obedience to my word. Guess what? You know, it's remarkable. This word of the Lord to me. He said to me, he says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I'd only seen it from one perspective. Faith comes by hearing, and my capacity to hear is by the word of God. Hallelujah, praise God. Until God said, you're not getting it. I said, what am I not getting? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And I said, yeah. He said, but you still not got it. I said, what am I missing? He says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I say, yeah, that's what I was talking about. You say, you still don't get it? I said, I got it, but you're telling me I don't got it? He says, when faith comes and hearing comes, because you're obedient to the word of faith, every other thing will hear you. I say, ah! You mean by my obedience to your word, everything else will obey me? He said, yet. Yes, because until you submit yourself to me, nothing submits to you. A lot of things that you want changed in your life remain unchanged because you've not changed your posture in God. We've got to change our posture before God. It's got to be a posture of obeying God. God asks you to do anything, just do it. Without murmuring and disputing. Say, but then I'm going to lose myself. Yes, you lose yourself. Die. So that he can live in you. Hallelujah. You too are alive. That's our problem. Too alive. No, die. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me, who loved me to serve me. Do you know? Do you know? Let me say it again. Do you know that a God who calls you to submit to him submits himself to you? Do you know that the God who calls you to obey him obeys you? Do you know that the God who calls you to serve him serves you? How do you think your prayers got answered in the first place? It's because God submits himself to listen to you, to pay attention to you. How many have had little babies before? Okay. A few. Some of us have our babies, and then we had our grandbabies, and then we have our great-grandbabies. I have to rub that in.
But guess what? Love compels me to pay attention to what my baby is saying. Even in the gibberish. Mama was telling a story the other day about one of our grandsons, and he, what's the word that he used to use about his? Edna, yes. Everything that says, and Edna. And we're wondering, what did Edna do to this kid? Until one day, Mama is looking at pictures with him, and he's pointing at everybody, and Mama says, and who is this? He says, Edna. It was himself. His name was pronounced differently. Well, it took baby learning to talk. Now, whatever that was, we connected with. Don't you know that speaking in tongues, and the Bible says glossolalia, which means basically gibberish, that God goes past your gibberish because he loves you to understand what you're saying by the Spirit. And your glossolalia, because you are not friends with the devil, he doesn't have a clue what you're saying. Hallelujah. But God, who understands you and understands every detail, takes your gibberish and makes sense of it to address every situation that has come your way. Because he is faithful. He is the credible God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The extraordinary strategist. He is there as your impossibility specialist, turning things around and making things line up for your good and for the testimony that he wants to bring about in your life and mine. The Bible tells us Jesus made this man every whit whole. Bible tells us in the Gospel of Mark, the 5th chapter, at the very beginning, it tells us about how Jesus, our Lord, came into the land of the Gadarenes. The land of the Gadarenes is the land of God. A pronouncement had been made over the tribe of God that God was going to be overtaken by a troop. And Jesus was ministering at one side of the Galilee. And by the timing of the Lord, he crosses the sea, comes to the land of God, and when he gets there, I want you to hear this. This is very important. When he gets there, and there are 3-4 things I need to point out to you here. When he gets to this land, there's a man who is demonized. The Bible says he had an unclean spirit, singular. Amen? He had an unclean spirit. He says, when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an what? Unclean what? Spirit. That's one spirit. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Who had his dwelling there? He says, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. Notice it was plucked asunder by who? By him. And the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. I'd read this passage of scripture for years with very limited understanding. until the Lord began to unveil the truth embedded in this passage. It started when the Lord said to me, he said, there are many things in the scriptures that I did wrong to show you what not to do. I said, what do you mean you did something wrong? He said, so many things. I said, like what? And he said, how many spirits were in the man called Legion? I said, he had thousands of. And the Lord said, no. He had one unclean spirit. I said, no. He had thousands. And the Lord said, no, he had one unclean spirit. I said, Lordy. He had one unclean spirit. No, he had thousands. So I went to grab my Bible to show God. And I read, had an unclean spirit. I said, what do you mean he had an unclean spirit? The guy said, we are legion, for we are many. He said, he got there because of what I said. I said, what did you say? And it showed it to me. He showed it to me. He said, I asked him, what is your name? What is your name? And he said, my name is Legion. Take me to verse 6 and 7. He says, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Notice the conflict. This is a demonized man. But he ran to Jesus and what? Worshipped him. It was not the evil spirits. It was the man. And the reason the man is busy breaking chains was because he knew on the inside of himself, I am not supposed to be this way. And you are not going to keep me amongst the dead. I cut myself to remind myself that dead people don't bleed. The fight that is inside of you, that is going against the forces of darkness, it is the Spirit of God inside of you that is declaring no, no, no to the devil. No matter what the devil throws at you, you are busy breaking chains. You may not have come out of that graveyard, but I tell you this, God has put enough fight inside of you to resist the devil, and you will break forth and you will break out and you will step into the destiny that God has ordained for you, because God is for you. No power of darkness will be able to stop you. If you believe that, say amen. The man had a fight inside of him. And he comes and he worships the Lord. That's an expression of thanksgiving. Jesus had not done anything yet. He says, cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Notice everything is still singular, right? For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou what? Unclean what? Spirit. Now verse 9. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is what? Legion, for we are what? Many. And he besought him much that he would not send who? Them away out of the country. From singular to plural. And Jesus said, it's because I asked him to speak. And whatever it is that he said, he became. You become what you say. And what you say determines the future ahead of you. Some of us need to be thanking God. God, I thank you for protecting me from myself. Because I've been busy swearing and cursing at myself. I thank you that you do not allow the words I've spoken out of my mouth to overwhelm me and bring me to a place of nothingness. I said to myself, I'm stupid, I'm dumb, I'm an idiot, I'm crazy. Thank you, Lord, that you did not make me that. And those words that I said out of my mouth did not come to pass as I said it. So we need to thank God for the things that he has done and the things that he has not allowed. Hallelujah. He says, send us away out of the country. He says, now there was there mountains of a great herd of swine feeding, and all the what? All the devils from one unclean spirit. Now we have all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them what? Leave them. And the unclean what? Spirits. Where did we start from? One unclean spirit. The unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violent down the steep place onto the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city, in the country, and they went out to see what had been done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the what? Devil. Not devils. With the devil. And had the legion. Sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. This is the deliverance of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. God raised a man and brought him to his rightful place. But part of the grace was the fight that was in him that refused to be held. God, you shall be overcome by a troop. But there's going to come the day that you're going to break free from that troop. And this man, when Jesus met him, became the representation of that reversal. Jesus came just because of that one man. And Jesus, our Lord, has come here just because of you today to turn something around. Something that's plagued you, plagued me, plagued us. And saying, today is your day when you don't need to fight anymore. And this man, one man. Some say one man. This man that wanted to follow Jesus, Jesus says, no, so you stay here. One man, hallelujah, went into 10 cities called the Decapolis. And won 10 cities to the Lord. Hallelujah. He had been pulled back so long, so far back, that now that he was released, he overtook everything. The grace to overtake is coming upon every one of us who are thankful to the Lord, so that we can accomplish the purposes of God and say no to the lying devils that said we cannot break forth. No, I have been in this place too long. Yes, I may have been in this cemetery for so long. Yes, I may have been chained with fetters and held captive for so long. But every time you try to tie me down, I'm breaking out. Every time you try to tell me I am dead because I'm in this cemetery, I say I bleed. I'm alive. Dead people don't bleed. Hallelujah. I find something to give God thanks for. Amen. That's what every one of us need to do. Give thanks. For it's in the giving of thanks that God will say, arise. you are made whole. Amen? I'm going to continue with this message next time, God willing, because I just touched the tip. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God has something distinct that He wants to bring to you and I. But in that distinct work, there are categories, progressive categories, that He wants to take you and I through. From being cleansed to being healed to being every whit whole. May He, God, do that, all of that, in this hour. Amen. All those three things happened within an hour. I'm certain of it. Rise with me. I worship You. I worship You. You are my God. Oh Lord, my God, I worship You. Yes, Jesus, I worship You. Nothing You can not do. Oh, there's no mountain You cannot move. Yes, Lord, I trust in You. Lord, our trust is in You. We come with thanksgiving. Your word says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Lord, we come just as we are, in total trust, in total surrender, glorifying You, exalting You, and declaring, Father, have Your way in our lives. Do the extraordinary with us, Most High, for You are our peace, and it's on You that we rely. Lord, whatever the needs of Your people are, I thank You that within this hour, Lord, oh God, that need is addressed, that they know deep within themselves that it's resolved. Lord, the men saw themselves cleansed while they were walking in obedience. And the one returned knowing that he was healed. And you upgraded his healing to wholeness. Father, so let it be unto us according to your word. Every need addressed. Every concern addressed. Your peace, let it take hold of every heart. Let every son, every daughter be encouraged. And may the pursuit of God for you, their love for you, be so well fed that it overwhelms every circumstance, every situation that befalls them. That the priority of every son and every daughter in this house today and in days to come will be to seek you first and your kingdom and the manifestation of every other thing added. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies. Thank you, Father, for this day that you've made for us to rejoice and be glad. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen. Praise the Lord. May God's open heaven be open over every life. Praise the Lord. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. Invest in God. Release unto the Lord that which He has blessed you with. For this is the time that the Lord says to us that we need to honor Him, knowing that He has honored us, that we need to give to Him, recognizing that He's given to us. You may be here today and the future seems very shady. This word is for somebody. So don't get distracted. The future seems so shady, so unstable, so unsure. I want you to receive this word from the Lord. The one who is your source. The one who reverses situations that have gone sour, cold. He is making the cold case live again. And he's bringing resolution and a sense of assurance deep within your spirit that it is well with you. It is well with you financially. It is well with you concerning your health. It is well with you concerning your marriage. It is well with you concerning your business. It is well with you concerning your vocation. It is well with you. Will you say, it is well with me? God has taken care of my situation and has resolved it completely to my full satisfaction. And way more than that, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. You receive that word? Then shout hallelujah to the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I look forward to having you back tonight for our continuation of the Feast of Tabernacles. Our guest speaker is from Sierra Leone, and he's going to be speaking to us powerfully tonight. So come ready to receive the ministration of the Word of God. And tomorrow night is going to be the great finale. And there is going to be a great impartation. God has something already on His mind that He's going to do for every one of us. Amen? Hallelujah. The God of the suddenlies will honor His name in our lives. Yes, 6:30 tonight. Amen? When we have special meetings, they're always at 6:30. Amen? Praise the Lord. So 6:30 tonight and 6:30 tomorrow night. Praise God. Well, at this time, I'll call on Mama to come. We're going to share in communion together. I'm sure you've already honored God with your giving. God, we look unto you with great wonder. You have done extraordinary things for us. And Lord, oh God, tonight, this very moment, we come to this table of communion. And as we receive communion together, we ask, oh God, that you breathe upon your people. And release life to every aspect of our person. We do this in remembrance of you, Father. Thank you for the grace to share in communion. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Take and eat.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say, I have catarizo.
I have catarizo.
I have iomile.
I have iomile.
And I have sozo.
I have sozo.
Full in operation.
Full operation.
Fully.
Fully.
In operation.
In operation.
In my body.
In my body.
In my life.
In my life.
In every aspect of my life.
In every aspect of my life.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
That means you are healed, you are restored, you are made whole.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I heard something I'd not heard before. That really has shaken me up on the inside. The Lord said that when we take communion, He's taking communion with us. And I said to the Lord, just there, I said, what you said, you not take this on until a further date when you're in the presence of the Father. He says, I am there now. When you take communion, I'm in communion with you. That is a powerful release in my spirit this morning or early afternoon. That God is in communion with us at the table of communion. It's not just something in the future. It is a future that was already made now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I receive everything that communion means. Praise the Lord. That takes me deeper this morning. Praise God. Praise the Lord.